Good evening, all square and Tala. Welcome to the first game, second episode of season four of the Town End podcast. We have our Chris producer, Clark, in Bray tonight. We're waiting for Donal Hanks to get back to us. He's missing at the full-time whistle again. We're going to bring in the experts, I suppose, ex-League of Ireland footballers, school teachers, Boyle sports staff, all-round Glenmuir midfielder, League of Ireland goalkeeper. Welcome, Steph. Welcome, Tom O'Connell. Lads, we spoke the other night. Well, we had our pre-season show the other night, and we had a hashtag going from John Flanagan, optimistic 24. I think we can be definitely optimistic for 24 after tonight's match, can we, lads? Steph, I'll go first to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's all you'd want. Like, look, if the quality's not there and teams just show a bit of heart, a bit of fight, and dig in for a result, it's nearly better. Like, you know, the attitude and everything else, like, you know, no fear in the worst. When they equalised, you thought this is going to be an onslaught now. So to weather that storm was fantastic. And yeah, positivity's back.
Yeah, and I think, Tom, I know we were on a number of times last season, and one of the things that always stuck out for people, you know, we look kind of all over the place and disorganised. But I mean, tonight, you know, even if we just forget the one-on-one result tonight, even just the actual result of the game, but the performance, just the organisation, the kind of, you can see that the pre-season and the training has obviously gone really well, because the organisation as a team, that kind of togetherness, I suppose, it was fantastic. It's something we've been missing probably going on 12 months, I would say.
Yeah, and look, even to take it a step further, look, you have Andy Boyle organising all around him. You know, I mean, Mayo alongside him. I mean, he's still just out of his teens, but he played like a veteran tonight. You had Jamie Walker to his left-hand side making his debut, and right-hand side, look, we know how good Archie Davies is. Yeah. But what I noticed behind us was, look, I mean, maybe there's a massive bias here, but I thought Shelby in goals was fantastic, but he communicated, like you said there, it's not even alone the pre-season, because obviously he didn't have the same pre-season everybody else had, but he communicated. Like, you nearly had to turn the telly down when a cross came in, because he was roaring. Yeah. You know, his ball, he was very commanded. That's kind of, you know, that's what you want as a keeper. As a keeper, when you're in good form, that's your coming out. You're taking those in your 6-yard box. And there was no worry when the ball went in. You kind of thought, right, this lad's a big lad. Yeah. He's coming out. He's making his presence felt. And it puts the back forward. It puts us at ease on the couch. You know, there's that bit of, right, listen, you have an assuredness about you. And, you know, he's 22, 23 years of age, but and look, you can't base anything on one game. But even his style of goalkeeping had just come out to go for everything. There's a couple of times, if you're going to be ultra critical, I mean, he might have punched away across, you know, maybe you could have left. Yeah. But I know on the boys in RT commentary were like, look, I'd rather he was positive all the time. And I have to say, look, we're not going to be, I mean, we've captain positivity up there in the corner, right? And we're not going to go overboard. But, you know, that the hallmarks are there for something good. Like, so yeah, no, absolutely, Gally. Like you said, it's that communication, it's that cohesiveness. And I have to say, even like Zach Bradshaw, I had never seen the chap play, known very, very little about him, but he looked very tidy, just kept things ticking over. So again, look, we'll not jump down, there's another 35 league games to go, but, you know, it's a good start.
Yeah, I think, Steph, we kind of mentioned, you know, some of the signings the other night, and we'd spoken, we kind of give our lineups. I was laughing when the lineups were tonight, because we missed probably half the squad. Not that we missed them, we just didn't think. There's rumours of, you know, there might have been a bit of niggle to Austin Brink before the game, but, you know, like Bradshaw there, Tom had mentioned, we didn't, when I seen him in the lineup today, we just assumed we'd maybe five at the back, and we debated whether Mayo was going to play maybe as a CDM. But Bradshaw came in there, look, he likes a tackle, he definitely likes to get stuck in, there's no doubt about that. And, you know, there's one or two players maybe we've had over the years in midfield that don't get stuck in enough. But, like, just to pick at Bradshaw, just for instance, just going off the back of Tom, he came in, and again, we knew nothing about him. But, like, he's an absolute machine. He you know, himself, Mayoa, these boys are really built, are athletes. And he gave us that little bit of something we've probably been lacking in midfield. We've obviously got the pace of Benson, and, you know, Scott Hayes, a very good player, accomplished player on the ball as well. But he has that little bit of steel that we've probably been missing in midfield, hasn't he?
Yeah, and you needed that. Like, he seemed like he was mobile, he got around, but like Tom said, when he got on the ball, he just done it simply. Like, just flying into tackles, like you fucking love to see it. Just rough and ready, and like, you know, like I think Stu Bourne said after the match, you know, last year up in Tala, Rovers went down to 10 men and the dog just sort of died of death and didn't really, you know, take advantage of it. But there tonight, like, every man got stuck in. Like, he was even incredibly unlucky when Frazier got injured. Like, he's toe poked the ball away from him. It was a fantastic tackle. Like, first viewings, I thought it was a definite foul, and maybe that was just going off his first tackle of the game. that was a lovely one to leave on somebody and get away without the yellow with the first one. But yeah, look, and same with Maiwa, like, you know, Gaffney's been in around the league, and you know, he left his mark in the early doors, but look, Gaffney's qualities, like, you know, once or twice when he was raiding down the left, Maiwa was pulled out of position, and he was probably being a little bit over eager to try and get in the ball, and maybe he was sliding him when he should be standing up and making it hard for him. But look, he grew into the game, and you know, like Tom said again, by the end of the game he looked like a 28-year-old veteran playing at the back there beside Boyler. Like, you know, it was incredible to watch. Like, it was nearly you were nearly watching him learn on the job. It was quality to watch. Like, he's big, he's strong, he's quick, he can pass a ball. Do you know, he ticks a lot of the boxes, and I know, you know, we'd watched bits and pieces of him, and then we were wondering last year, you know, why he wasn't even getting on the bench. But look, we won't get into that. And he's come in, and it's baptism of fire. And
yeah,
you know, it's happened with many players, and they've come in difficult places like this. But he was incredible tonight. I thought he probably shaded man the match for me, Boyler, and then Shelby and goals as well. Like, even the last, I think it was a cross or a corner, maybe it was Watts put in a dangerous ball into an area, and you're sort of saying, will he or won't he? And you just hear the shout, and he just, you know, just catches it, like, you know, and just calms everything down, and that kills the game off.
I think the likes of, and Shelby probably not under the radar, like Tom had said. I think a lot of, we've obviously got Mayoa, Andy Boyle, you know, Bradshaw, Gullen, I think, but, you know, for himself, from George himself coming in, he's only signed, I think we're talking Wednesday morning, was it? You know, he signed, we assumed Monroe would have started tonight, but even just to come in just for himself, never mind giving the back line that little bit of confidence, just for himself saying, right, I'm here to keep this jersey. You know, he's not the number one as such on the back, but like, he done himself no harm tonight whatsoever. We don't know whether this was a planned signing, you know, as in such, like, they wanted this particular goalkeeper, but he's come in, he's absolutely laid down the law straight at the gate, hasn't he?
Well, yeah, and I mean, look, you know, again, speaking from semi-personal experience, I obviously never hit that level, but I knew...
Ah, you did, Tom. Don't be...
Aircom League under 21 is not the standard. That's going to be 10,000 people at Tala Stadium are going to be watching. It's an achievement for me, but nonetheless. No, but if the first couple of moments, his first few kickouts were very wide, and they hit, you know, they hit the touchline and they went out over it. And someone who's maybe not as mentally strong or whatever, I mean, that's going to get them down. And I never looked at a reaction of his where I looked at him looking at the ground, where I looked at him. He still wanted to go. Obviously, that's a game plan. I mean, you know yourself, you look at the pace we had on the wings. The obvious plan was to try and expose, you know, behind Rovers defence at the pace of Ryan O'Kane, the trickery of Darrell Horn, try and, you know, kind of bypass where they had the real strength in midfield and get the wings. You know, Stephen O'Donnell, Patch Craig and Liam Barnes are experienced, you know, obviously experienced players in their own right, but, you know, experienced midfield players, obviously Barnes is centre-half, but they know the game inside out. So, I mean, the plan was obviously to go wide and go direct. So if it didn't happen, big deal. Go again. And he kept that up. And I think, like I say, it's a sign of his temperament that it didn't faze him. He might have put one out over the touchline the next time, right, listen, bring it in a little bit. Or if there's a cross coming in, well, just because I may be overshot, the last kicker does not mean that I can't claim this high ball and take the pressure off my defence. I thought that was, you know, it was as much that kind of cracking. I come back, I was saying about his communication. That's, you know, fundamentally, that's the good signs that I was... You know, that I was kind of looking for. Look, there's going to be games. He's 23. He's going to make mistakes in games. He's going to be, you know, making mistakes in the season. We're going to be looking at,
yeah,
you know what, we're going to be sitting here talking, and there are going to be games where maybe something's happened, and whether it's himself or Ross Monroe gets in, Ross Monroe's only 22, they're going to, and I mean, you mentioned it there, Steph, about Mayo learning on the job. Again, there are going to be games where that's going to happen. Today, maybe not so much, but it's going to happen. We have to give, you know, give them a break, give them a chance. But I thought tonight, the aspects when things didn't maybe work out as planned, the fact that they got the head down and got on with things again, you know, from a mentality point of view as much as anything else. And even I noticed the commentators, I can't remember, I think it was Kenny Cunningham was saying, you know, after the game, I thought Dundalk would be celebrating a pint. Whereas, you know what I mean? I don't know. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion, but I think to be celebrating the first game of the season, it doesn't throw you off. You know, it doesn't set yourself up well anyway. But even that, like, right, listen, and even Stephen O'Donnell again said, look, you know, achieve a point, move on, let's move on, and let's keep going. And like, at the end of the day, there's not a whole pile of teams that are going to take a result from Tala, but this is one game out of 36. And that's kind of, it was the softer stuff that I was looking at being impressed by, as well as obviously the likes of Jamie Gullen, who, again, YouTube videos is all I'd have seen of him. I yeah. know very yeah. little. I'm not going to pretend, like, great strike. But it's a mentality thing. It's more that I would be taking from tonight.
That's probably just going, Steph, yeah, go.
No, I was just going to say, like, Shelby's probably just scraped in on the deadline, because I know you have to, like, who was it? Johnson didn't obviously make it in time being signed, but like Shelby's just come in at the 11th hour. But it's probably like the RT done a, I think it was a O'Donoghue done a piece in Oriel Park the other day, and you know, he was interviewing Shelby, so maybe that was a wee clue that he might be the number one. I was sort of saying to the lads in the chat that, you know, it's probably going to be Shelby who was getting interviewed and stuff like that. But yeah, look, like to get come in and do the basics right, like communication is massive, especially from a keeper, and he wasn't overall not knowing the players. He was there to do his job, and he was 100% professional, and hopefully he can go from strength to strength. Like, if tonight doesn't give him the confidence to kick on, like you said, a lot of them, like Gullen even stepping up to hit the free kick when you've players there that probably would have fancied it, like Hogan and stuff like that. You know, obviously he's been showing it in training or to be saying get off that, you, but for Gullen to step up and hit it, and then he's incredibly unlucky because the wall gets a wee head on and it looked to be going goal bound again. I don't know about what Tom thought about the free kick. I think the keeper had chocolate wrist, did he?
That's what I was actually going to say. It's a segue into the goal, but I was actually going to ask Tom that, being a goalkeeper, like, it's a hell of a strike, but, you know, as the keeper, is he a wee bit too far? Like, we don't really care now, but is he a wee bit too far to the left? It almost goes down. Now, it's probably it's the pace that takes it in, but yeah, like you say, Steph, I think it has a rubber hand. I don't know if it's just the pace on the ball, but Tom, you'd be more of an expert. Steph's usually hitting him, so you'd be more of an expert from the goalkeeper end of things.
I'm going to be straight up. I wouldn't have saved it either. And then, look, I mean, yeah, just, you know, you're saying, look, it's not in the top corner, it's not in whatever. That's grand. But at the end of the day, the fact that it's not in the top, you to trust your wall. So, I mean, yeah. That one, you know, that didn't fly over the wall, dip up and dip down. It kind of skimmed over the top of the wall at the same, you know, if the wall, we'll put it this way, if the wall had jumped the first time, as high as they jumped the second time, they'd have probably blocked it. So, I mean, he's looking at his wall. He's going, right, well, listen, the wall is covering the right-hand side. If it gets over the wall, it's going to have to be a decent strike to beat me. I would give the benefit of the doubt to Gullen. I mean, let's say he's called the hammer for a reason. I'm going to bounce off of Steph's captain positivity and all that kind of crack, and I'm going to give the positives to the striker. I'm not going to criticize the keeper because somebody could be down watching me playing Astro some night and take his wife and something. So I'm not going to set myself up for a fall. But no, I'm going to say, yeah, listen, the wall is probably, as a keeper, I'd be looking at that. If the wall is beaten from there, that's where I would be putting that. So I'm going to sit on the fence there and say, no, look, good strike. If the wall had jumped as they did the second time, it's no goal.
There's the goalkeeper's union coming into it as well. Blame the wall.
But it's something probably, you know, like, considering, I don't know if they just mentioned, I'm sorry, Tom, blocking me there with a comment. I don't know if Hooban had just scored for Derry at the same time or just in or around the same kind of goal, but it's great for a player like that to come in, get the number 9 jersey, you know, probably, yeah, we're talking if it's at Oriel Park, it's a little bit sweeter, but the fact that you're going to the home of the champions and you've stepped up, you know, like you say, Tom, Daryl Hogan's hanging around, Ryan O'Kane wouldn't be afraid of hitting a free kick either. You know, it's to step up and take it. Obviously, it's something that they've looked at and it's obviously practiced, but you know, you can tell he's well adverse to hitting a free kick, regardless of where it goes. You can tell the technique. You know, like I would have assumed that the second one was probably going to go back in the net as well. It seems to have a real way of taking him, a real knack of taking him, and something we're probably going to see a lot of then over the season. You'd expect him to maybe grab a few more over the course of probably the next maybe 10 or 12 games if he gets within earshot of the 18-yard box. Steph, that's yours.
Well, that's mine, is it? Yeah. Look, they get massive for strikers. You know, they're all greedy so-and-sos anyway, but you know, to get his first goal on his debut, and you've seen the way he was celebrating. Like, I think he was close to kissing the crest already there, like, you know. But, you know, we won't go too in-depth on, like, celebrations or anything. But, yeah, no, he was passionate, and he was running towards the fans. And, look, that'll be just, you know, that'll give him the hunger inside to, you know, want to go and repeat that, especially when he starts getting down to Oriel Park and in front of the shed. And, you know, we have a big full stand there, and us minnows in the turn end section as well, you know, if he makes his way over to us as well. So look, it's fantastic for him to get off the mark. I think there was a lot made of him getting the number 9 shirt, but if he's going to be a goal scorer, you know, they're all confident boys, strikers, so I'm sure he'll relish that himself.
Interesting too as well, there's a hint of, I'm not going to say nastiness, but there's a hint of niggliness to him as well, that sometimes it's no harm having that. I like seeing that, see, like when the quick free kick was going to be taken and he just nudged into it and he just put him off. It was just annoying. And even as well, when they were doing the press, he seemed to be kind of shifting over to the right-hand side to give maybe Daryl Horgan a bit more protection. I don't know. I couldn't say exactly. Obviously, when you're not at a game live, it's hard to see what way, but he seemed to shift the press over from the right-hand side. And look, if you have a striker who's willing to do the donkey work, I mean, we watched Dave McMillan for years whenever, you know, the couple of years that Pat Hoogan wasn't here, and McMillan was running down the channels, he was doing that dirty work, and he rattled defenders, he annoyed defenders. And I think if you're going to, you know, the way the team are set up this year, you're going to need everybody working together. And it was that, I mean, look, Andy, you mentioned at the very start, that cohesiveness kind of shone through the whole way through the 90 minutes. So, I mean, if you have it starting from the very, very start, and look, I mean, we're not going to go into, I mean, the whole Pat Hoogan conversation dominated the off-season, but Gullen's seems to be a different kind of player, where he's just putting the, you know, he's putting the effort in across, you know, in the press, and as well as that, Hoogan wouldn't give you the same, he'd give you different, don't get me wrong, the man's a record goal scorer, I'm not going to criticise.
He's all right, he's all right.
No, it's just a different style.
Didn't score that many.
He scored more than me. It's just, you know, it's a different style of playing, it's interesting to see. I mean, look, and you mentioned it there, Steph, like, I wrote a season preview today for Extra Time. My one to watch was Robbie Mahon. He didn't even start. Do you know what? I had thought he was a
shoe-in. I had him in the starting lineup as well. Yeah, I thought he would, yeah.
And yet, do you know, I mean, you couldn't fault that starting 11. And you know, to put in the hard work, then whenever the game got more broken and you needed the pace, then Durant comes on, then Robbie Mahon comes on. Then in broken play, where you have defenders who are more tired, you know, where there's more space, then pace can be an extra option. I thought, you know, the management team, you know, did that super tonight. Just shows that they know a hell of a lot more than we do. And tip me off for that.
Yeah, like, and even, like, you know, we obviously had an extended, I didn't know if you wanted the, I know obviously the injury for Neil Ferrugia and that, I think they might have said a broken collarbone, did they? In that non-tackle, but look,
they said at the end then it was
dislocated. Yeah, unfortunately, you know, he seems very unlucky with injuries. But, you know, we've had an extended kind of half, you know, a first half. I don't know whether that would have changed anything at half time, or lads a bit more fatigued, but you could see straight out the gate. Now, I don't know what the Rovers half time teed up, but you could see straight out the gate. Not through no fault of our own, I suppose, Rovers had come out and really the second half, it was like a, not a, I don't want to cliche and say a different Rovers team, but they had got at it. So you'd see Dundalk had kind of retreat a little bit back behind the ball. We didn't have that press, as you were saying, Tom, that four-man press from Benson and Hogs in the middle. That kind of disappeared very early on in the second half. Where Rovers, I hate to use Aaron Green's name, but he absolutely taught. Every time we come on this podcast, we're after a Rovers game, I'm always talking about Aaron Green. But they seem to get the grip between their teeth there and just say, look, we're going to have to go at these boys. And you could see a change in that Rovers team at the second half, pretty much from when the whistle went, couldn't you?
Yeah, I think Bradley sort of said it in his post-match that, you know, the Frazier injury sort of disrupted the momentum of how they were playing at the time. You know, he was, Frazier was a torn aside in that first period. The 1-2s he was playing, his pace, his power, you know, he out-muscled O'Kane a couple of times, which, you know, it's no fluke that he got into the Irish squad because of it. How he was performing last season up until a few injuries set him back. But yeah, look, he was not that you hope people get injured around him, but I was delighted to see him going off. I think he's the most dangerous. He's a right wing back, and he's the most dangerous attacker alongside Gaffney, who was on the pitch at the time. So yeah, I think that broke it up. And look, they're not 3.5 league champions in a row for nothing. You know, they're a quality side, and even the players they're bringing off the bench and stuff. Like, for Trevor Clark to come off the bench after how he came off the bench in the President's Cup, for him not to start and come off and then come off again injured, and like, it scanned up to the stands at one stage, and you've like Towell and Buck sitting there, you've obviously Jack, the saviour, Lord God, our saviour, still to come back into that squad as well. Like, you know, they've nearly an embarrassment of riches, but at the same time, they still have to go. They started badly last season. I think they'd like 5 or 6 draws in a row. Tom will probably correct me on that one. But yeah, look, for us to go up there, nobody was expecting anything. I'm sure the players inside the squad sort of half thought they might do something themselves with the performance they put in. But, you know, we were sort of just hoping for a performance. We weren't even optimistic about a result or anything like that, but to come away with the one-all draw, you know, and like you say, like a sliding doors moment, O'Kane hits the post and then they go down and get a sore free and get the equaliser. You know, goals are turning away.
I think it's probably the only thing Kenny Cunningham said right the whole night. I think it would have been one of the goals of the season straight out the gate. The running from Hogan to cross the header. I was up off the couch, like the dog and everything off the couch and everything. I thought it was in. I couldn't believe he hit the post. I couldn't believe it got to his head. It's really rare you see him get on the end of a header. It was just
You had him benched as well. Okay.
I had him benched. Yeah, I had him. Did he play? I don't even. Did he play the whole game, the whole 90 minutes? No, he didn't. He came off, did he? Yeah, I had him benched. Off, what do I know? I'd Mahan on the field, Tom, like yourself. I'd Mahan starting. O'Kane on the bench. What would I know with football? Thank God. Yeah, disaster. I'll bring him in just in case. I don't know what his signal's like, but we'll bring him in. Chris, you were at the down at the Mighty Bray game. I don't even know what that finished, Chris. What did it finish?
2-1 UCD. UCD had a player sent off in the first half and went 2-0 up. So I didn't know what was going on in football.
That's first division football for you.
Yeah. Finn's debut for UCD as
that's
well.
Right. That's right. Midfield, right back.
Ended up in right back, yeah. Played a start in the middle, but he ended up at right back. So I was just responding to your messages coming up, so that got me through the game because I had every single device working in Bray at the time. But look, I suppose right off the bat, similar to yourselves, I definitely didn't get that starting lineup right. You know, I fair play to Stephen, I suppose, for throwing so many of the new lads in there. It's a lot of bravery. Going to Tala is not easy, and it can be easy to stick with what you know and stuff like that. But I suppose he had to make a decision in goal, and it looked like that, you know, you would have thought Shelby coming in from Forest, that pedigree is probably enough to get the start ahead of Munro, even though Munro's done all the pre-season. But you're just... You would say the reason that Stephen pushed the boat out to get him is, you know, is that caliber coming from the Premier League and training with Premier League coaches and other keepers. And I think that's kind of shown from what I hear from yourselves there. You know, you can see that commandingness on the pitch and, you know, the willingness to come through players to collect the ball and stuff like that. And that's just probably at a higher level keeper, you know, has that sort of bravery in them that they're kind of used to. And it's a lot to be doing on your debut, but, you know, fair play to him. And I suppose for Gallen then, for the free kick as well, you know, I did get to see the free kick. What a hit. Fantastic to on your debut and tell the, you know, Benson and the rest like to go stuff it. I'm hitting this. There's a bit of boldness amongst that as well. And he was unlucky not to get his second too. But definitely the move of the match was the O'Kane's hitting the post. Like it was fluid football. Really, really good. Good to see us playing. You know, Stephen often mentions on that pitch in Tala, you should be able to play your best football. And you could see that from us. It's probably just more of a thing where when more of these players kind of settle in, we'll hopefully see more of this type of football. But it just goes to show, like, we didn't really see too much of that in pre-season, but you can't read too much into it. Sure, you can't. Because it's only when
we know better than most not to read into pre-season. Yeah.
It's only when the first ball's kicked on the first day, you know, that's when it all counts, because you can be trialing things, you can try players out of position or certain pressing moments and different techniques and stuff like that. But when it comes down to the first game, that's the pivotal point. And, you know, I was heartbroken. I just saw Gally's message into the group. Aaron Green, it just had to be. And I went, oh, no, not him again.
I think Reggie, I think James Rogers had it up. Is that, Tom might be able to correct. Is that 8 goals against Dundalk? Is it in the Premier League?
I can't remember exactly.
It's something like that. He just seems to haunt.
He's always there, isn't he?
Yeah.
I remember writing about 2 years ago at this stage, I wrote a piece just purely about Aaron Green and how, you know, how effective he was for Rovers over him. Even... You know, you don't like eulogizing about opposition players, but even you go far back, like, I mean, when he was with Bray, when he was with Sligo, I mean, he played left back for a while at Sligo.
He's come
back to, you know, different type of player, and obviously, but come back to saying with Gullen having that just edge about him and having a bit been a bit awkward. Like, I'd hate to play against Aaron Green because he just wouldn't stop, and I think there's a question mark over whether Archie Davies was possibly fouled by Rory Gaffney when that ball came across.
Yeah.
Again, look, I don't know. It's easy to say, for you know, the argument could be also, listen, that Davies should be stronger on it. Anyway, that Green's cute enough to float in behind Gaffney and pick up the pieces. You know, maybe somebody else might have just looked at him and went, listen, if Gaffney's going for that ball, not a hope am I going to be getting it. So we might have switched off. Whereas he always just seems to snoop about, and like you say, he hunts for goals against Dundalk. And I don't remember a whole close in. Tap in is, I'm not going to say tap in, but you know, that all that close range stuff where you need to be sharp, you need to be tuned in. I mean, and again, look, come back to Dundalk's performance tonight. There's a lot of inexperienced players there, a lot of young players who played really, really well. But if you look at, and I think possibly this is, you know, Gally, come back to where myself and yourself had Robbie Mahon starting. Darrell Horgan started, experience. Robbie Benson started, experience. Ryan O'Kane, he's young, but he's experienced. So there's your three midfielders, experienced. You come back, Andy Boyle, it's either that's eight or nine of his last appearances he hasn't lost for Dundalk. I'll need to go way back, right. But every time he's pulled on a Lily White jersey, for the last, I think that's it, ninth at this stage, Dundalk haven't lost. And again, does that come down to Andy Boyle being the best defender in the league? No. It comes down to the fact that he was at one stage, absolutely. He's still excellent. But his level of communication around him, he's still able to, whether it's the keeper, there's like even that time where he took the ball around his own keeper and was calm enough and experienced enough to go, do you know what, I could pass him and just drive it out. It's that experience on the flip side then, that Rovers bring. I mean, you said, you know, what they had when it panned to the stand and all the players they had, Richie Towell, Jack Bourne, all these guys, even Pico Lopez wasn't even playing tonight. All that experience, Aaron Green kind of sums that up as well. It's the experience he brings to them. It's that know-how. It's that gamesmanship's probably the wrong word, but it's cuteness, that, you know, that awkwardness, annoyingness to play against. That's what they had to resort. I won't say resort is the wrong word, but that's where they had to go to dig out that result against Dundalk. I mean, you go back sliding doors, Steph. You said Ryan O'Kane scores, goes back, same as Dane Massey's header against the Russian team, going out of my head, in 2016. Would have went, and again, it's a header against the post as well. But anyway, that's, you know, these things happen. To come away with the 1-1 draw from Tallaght Stadium, with the team, the debutants have gone on off my head, off the top of my head. I can't remember many debutants we had this evening, but
5, I think, wasn't it? That started anyway.
Like, so that's very credible.
Yeah, and was it Andy Boyle experience hand pass back to the keeper in the first few minutes? I know he can't really do much about it, but
as a Leeds fan, we watched Patrick Bamford score with his arm last week and then celebrated it pointing to his elbow. So I can say Leeds went on to win 3 or 4-0, so it was grand. But again, I'm going to keep quiet on the handball, possible handball scenarios.
Yeah.
I was going through just Facebook's, phones pinging away, but there seems to be they're delighted with the result, but there seems to be this kind of, the same words keep coming up. You've got this organisation, aggressiveness, you know, that aggression in midfield, stuff that we've been lacking last year. Like, are we putting that down to maybe, I mean, you don't want to, it's a first game out of the season, but is that, you know, like, Mark Carroll said, you know, credit to the skipping, is that their pre-season? I know some of them come in very late, but is that just what's driven into them over pre-season? Like, I put this to you, Chris, maybe, I don't know if you're, I know you weren't watching the game, but is it something that, you know, he signed these players because we lacked that maybe over the last 12 months? These players were brought in for a reason. Yeah. You know, we seem to have scouted really well here, or, you know, he's had someone look at them. You know, we mentioned Bradshaw straight out the gate today. I didn't even think he was a centre midfielder. You know, he looks more like a defender, but yeah, he was really, you know, some dodgy tackles, I suppose, or GBH almost moments. He only got arrested at one stage in the first half, but he's a red card waiting to happen, I think. But I think these players were brought in for that reason, and you know we're seeing it after. I know, albeit only 90 minutes, it's really paid off tonight.
Yeah, I think in the league launch, Chris, interviews with Stephen O'Donnell, he kind of was talking about just these are a good bunch of players with the right attitude. And I wonder, because we ended up signing so many players later, you know, the season had started and suddenly there was still a couple of players still landing and they weren't eligible for the first round of games. And, you know, we seem to have, although we were close to the bone, maybe with one or two, but not as many signing later on. So he probably had them for more of a preseason than he had last year. And yeah, I wonder if that is now having an effect that what he wants to get across, we're not having to do that during matches now and get up to speed on it. We've had that bedding in time during pre-season training between those matches, and the new format of the Leinster Senior Cup has probably given a chance for these other lads now to actually get to play a bit of football, because one or two probably weren't getting the opportunities at their other previous clubs to get out, but now they are getting first team football and getting up. Getting away from where he was last year, and we couldn't get on the pitch. You know, Maioa getting man of the match tonight. I think that really sums up a lot, you know, about his attitude and everything else, that he put aside whatever disappointments that he didn't get his opportunities last year. Done very well at Dungannon Swifts on his loan, I hear. And come back and then put a really solid performance in. Like, how many of us had Maioa picked as the centre-back with Boyler in our teams?
Yeah,
not too many.
That's right, yeah. Yeah. And that's something, Steph, we even talk about whether I think we had Annalsey down, and maybe it might have been Muller as well mentioned, but it's a real credit to Steve that he said, right, no, we're gonna put, like, we've 5 players starting tonight who are brand new. You know, it's, and Maioa, what age Maioa is he? 19? 80, what, like,
I think he's just gone 20, is he?
Like, it's, yeah, you know, like that's, it could be a partnership there, you know, that's could go the season. We don't know, look, it's early doors, but you know, even the fact that they've come in and, you know, albeit a little bit rusty, you know, Jamie Walker, a little bit kind of, you know, some, I think, I don't know what minute this tackle was in, but he nearly cut, I think it was Ferrugia in half just before. It's actually just before he got injured, was it? It was just before that injury. He's all in the same build-up.
So Ferrugia, you know, jumped the tackle, yeah.
Yeah, look, you love the enthusiasm, but my God, he was nearly in the stands. He just slid that far about. But, you know, they're rusty. But, I mean, you know, I think more, I don't know if it's more shocked or surprised. It's probably more delighted that, you know, we finally have a group of players. And even when the subs come in, it's like for like. You know, we're not looking at the bench, so, right, who's going to come on now and do it? We seem to have these, that bit of squad depth now to say, right, we've got players that can come in and change the game. You know, Paul Doyle came on and it was a swap for Bradshaw, which even looking at the game, we knew was going to happen. And we had Elliot for Gullen. Last year, we might have got Benson on for the goalkeeper. It was that random. You know, there was injuries and formation changes. But now we have I'm very, you know, wary of the fact that it's only one set of 90 minutes here. But we seem to have a squad that's where players can swap for each other, and we have that little bit of depth, I suppose, a bit of quality depth as well, that's, you know, that we're going to need as the season goes on.
Yeah, it's good to see the lads coming on. You know, I think we're under severe pressure, and then when the two wingers come on, we had two breakaway chances as well. So, you know, Doyle obviously linked the play as well. When he got it in the middle, he was switching play as well. So all that combined together was relieving the pressure, which was badly needed at the time, because you were thinking, you know, if they keep raiding down this left or getting the corners that we're getting, one of them was bound to come off. It was going to be a whole different podcast than it currently is. But yeah, look, Durant and Mahan come on and, you know, made runs and got corners and throw-ins and free kicks and relieved a lot of pressure. So, like I said, you know, you're gonna need these players coming off the bench, or, you know, there's going to be game weeks where it's a double game week and stuff like that, and you're going to need these boys to step up and play. And look, I'm sure anybody in that on the bench, or even that didn't make the squad tonight, are thinking, you know, they want to be playing. So hopefully that leads to competitiveness and training and driving each other on, you know, setting standards that you know, that improves everybody. The age profile of the squad, as we know, is very young. These boys could be playing their first season in senior men's football, and, you know, it's a whole different kettle of fish. Read an article on Evan Ferguson's dad talking about the time he went to England, and he said it's the under-21 leagues, like, for use of a better word, a fake league, because, you know, you're playing centre-half and the striker's not going to close you, and you have time in the ball and you can pick out your full-back and your midfielder. He says when he came back to Ireland, then it was a culture shock and a striker's coming steaming into him. And,
yeah,
look, that's, you know, it's going to be a learning for them, and, you know, hopefully they take up the baton and run with it, because it's going to be progressive for us. And if we want to go places, that's what we need to be doing. Everyone's going to have to be fighting for a spot.
Yeah, Tom, I think that's what we're going to get over the season. I think because we have that little bit of quality. Well, I don't say a little bit of quality, a lot of quality, it seems, in the depth of what Stephen signed. You know, we're going to have people fighting for places, whereas you could, you know, not that they weren't fighting last year, but it got to the stage where it was walking wounded, I suppose, and they were hoping for not that for this year. But there is that going to be a little bit, like Steph says, that little bit of fight for places this season, and that's what you want, because it can only breed competition within the squad to keep us up at the kind of the higher echelons of the league, hasn't it?
Well, absolutely, and I think, look, I mean, it says a lot when we've watched Dundalk playing and we didn't get near the starting lineup. For what was there, you know, whereas maybe a couple of years ago. Now, look, don't get me wrong. There's 2016. You could name the team backwards every week and look that. But that's a different level. But even look, just go back to recruitment. If you look at last year, the likes of Hayden Muller coming in playing, you know, maybe his first senior games, very very few senior games. And again, look, some of these guys, Jamie McGuckin, I think, is still probably playing a lot of PL2 or, you know, that reserve league kind of stuff. But if you look at Jamie Gullen, If you look at Koen Oostenbrink in the second division in Holland, we didn't see him tonight, but I mean, he's racked up a few games there. You're they're still bringing through younger players, but they're that bit more experienced. Even Robbie Mahon was halfway through alone at the Scottish lower leagues when he signed for us. So, I mean, they're still relatively inexperienced. Well, they're obviously not experienced at all in the League of Ireland, but there's that bit more experience than the guys who came in last year. And the guys who came in last year obviously have last year's year, you know, have last year's games behind them. Sam Durant, I think he made his debut for Sheffield Wednesday at the end of the 2023 season. Then obviously we signed, or whatever, 22-23 or 21-22, whatever way. That was about the height of it. Then he played a bit for us. Whereas now when he comes on, he's getting better. And there's a reason his contract was extended halfway through, you know, maybe the back end of last season. There's quality there. The more these guys get exposed to proper competitive football, the better and better they're going to get. And hopefully they'll stay longer. I mean, that's what you want to see. You want to see where you've competition on the wings. If Ryan O'Kane, if Robbie Mahon, if Sam Durant, there's three absolute flyers on the wing. They're all again maybe in competition against Darrell Horgan, who's on the other side as well. You know, you have four wingers who will give you something different, who will give you the pace up front before.
Oh.
Where you would have had, whereas now you have the three options like that. David McMillan keeping centre halves, whatever, honest, I suppose, the best way of putting it. And the flip side of that, you have Jamie Gullen, who, like we can see, have likes the shot midfield. We're overstocked with midfielders, centre half. Then I don't know how many people would have picked the centre half pairing tonight that played. So, I mean, bar maybe Archie Davies, I think, is, you know, we've seen Luke Mulligan in pre season look very good, but end of the day, he's a teenager with very little experience, could have a huge season ahead of him. But I think Archie Davies is your nail down right back. Beyond that, everybody is in a fight. Obviously, look, the likes of Darren Horgan, Robbie Bence, and Andy Boyle are in pole position, and George Shelby's obviously pole position ahead of Ross Munro. But I mean, they're not nailed down, and look, that competition can only be good. Like,
absolutely, Chris, you're still with us.
I'm still with you. I'm breaking up, so I'll leave on at the end of this one. Just on point.
Go on.
I just think, like, the likes of Sam Durant, when you think how he ended last year, you know, this injury he had coming into the start of the season, it just came at the wrong time for him. Did he miss kind of a lot of preseason? But, like, he can feel very unfortunate that he's, you know, not a start possibly in this team tonight based on how he performed last year. Especially considering we were down to bare bones. And, you know, I think of his goal against Cork that time when he took it around about 5 or 6 and scored. Like, he popped up with important goals and seemed that sort of expressive player that Skip likes as well. Like, but just to echo what the lads are saying there, I think they're saying, yeah, there's a lot more competition at a probably a higher level, like Tom just said, coming in this year than maybe last year, that we took us a while to get that experience in the league, to get that first team senior level experience. Whereas I think the recruitment this year is probably, I think Tom's right, it's probably a lot smarter that we've got lads who have been in and around first team environments, maybe as a previous loan or whatever, and now they've come to this and now they're probably thinking to kick on, whether Dundalk is a stepping stone for them or they see this just as a massive opportunity. But either one, you want players coming in like that who have a bit of a fire in their belly, and that's what you kind of seen from the performance anyway tonight.
And I realise that you're probably just still on the M1, Chris, but we'll get, just in case you do break up and you have to disappear or stop for a sausage roll and a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. I'm going to hit you early for, I know you haven't been watching the game, but any of the comments that are coming in of what you've heard, just hit us with a man of the match there, because I'm wary of the fact that we'll have an odd number and it could be over very quickly. I like to spice it up and have a chance of a level one when it comes to it.
Love it. Yeah, I'm just a draw there now, lads. It's gone through.
Draw up, yeah, buddy. Give Darius a shout out.
I still think it lands jumping in the window at me. Draw it that night. As I say, I haven't seen the game or whatever, but I suppose Maioa's performance seemed to stand out amongst the pundits on television tonight. And I just think if that is the case and he had an excellent game, it says a lot about his character and everything else about the player. And I'd be only too delighted to give it to Maioa.
Yeah, I think that seems to be a running thread. I was actually surprised in a way that, I'm not surprised, Andy Boyle did an outstanding game, but even when you first of all, I was surprised it went to the underdog player even in Talla. You know, normally they obviously favour the home team, but apart from maybe, you know, for someone of Mayo's age, you know, not even age, but inexperience probably at that level, I don't think he put much wrong. I mean, there was a bit of a early in the first half, maybe he took one or two extra touches of the ball he didn't need, but obviously a tackle here and there. I think he might have got into the back of, I don't know, it was Dara Burns or maybe it was O'Neill, was it in the first half? But I for someone who's come in and started a league season like that and been maybe surprisingly picked for somewhat, I thought he was outstanding, lads. I think, I find it very difficult that he wouldn't start going forward. And we didn't even think, we were joking last night that obviously if anybody watched our socials last night, we had him up as our sponsor for the year, and obviously a clerical error, that didn't happen. And then we envisioned him being loaned out, that we mightn't even get to see him play. But it goes how wrong we were. Like, for a young kid of his age, he's been at Dungannon Swift, like you said, he was outstanding tonight. Like, you know, if we're going to pick out someone, just, you know, Bradshaw had a great game as well. Davis always solid. But, you know, Adam Asahoon had an absolute fantastic match. I know, Steph, I'll give that to you, Steph, because you're a massive fan of him.
Yeah, no, he's...
I see Glenmuir United got a mention on the telly as well, anyway.
Glenmuir got a mention, didn't they? Yeah, I've seen they put up a post, and obviously Ryan O'Kane's an ex-player as well there. So, you know, I'm waiting for the call back. It's going to be so bad. But it's great to see himself and Manny are best of mates, and they used to be down watching Glenmuir last season. But
they're
watching me, and obviously they've picked up a few things along the way, and they've gone on to better things since. But yeah, look, it's great for him to come in, and it's probably good that you're young and you just, you know, you don't think about it too much.
Yeah,
I think he's played quite a bit of pre-season, and when you look at him, like, the attributes he has are ideal for a modern day centre half. Like, he can play ball, he's strong, he's quick. Do you know what I mean? Like, and the rest will come with it. And look, you probably couldn't have a better man beside him than Andy Boyle. I know Tom had talked about, you know, his experience being invaluable, and little things like, you know, if he makes a good tackle and you see them celebrating, it was like a win for them if they kept the ball out. It was nearly like scoring a goal for them and stuff like that. And that's the way it should be. And, you know, you have Archie Davis around them as well, which is another good man. Like, you know, he's still only young himself and learning the game, but he has that bit of experience as well. And, you know, it just worked well, whereas other times, you know, you make a bad tackle, like he gets sort of caught around the wrong side of Gaffney. He tries to be over-eager and come around and win it. And look, there's nothing wrong with that. He picked up the foul for just once or twice in the first half. You know, he dived in and Gaffney cut back and stuff like that. But look, he's playing like if you're going to say over the last 2 or 3 years, like, Gaffney's probably in the running for player of the season the last couple of seasons. I could be wrong on that, but I think he was definitely up there for the last couple of seasons, player of the year. So look, he's up against it's really the acid test, one of the best players in the league. And for him to come out, and, you know, Alan Cawley and Stewie Bourne at the end of the game talking about how well he'd done, Kenny Cunningham, many international caps does he have, he was impressed by him. And then you think it's his first start for the club. You know, we talked about it on the podcast during the week. The Dungannon Swifts, he had a slow start there. He struggled to get in, and then hit a bit of bad form, and he got his goal then. And he done him the world of good. Obviously, he's come on strength to strength. I remember making his debut. I think it was against Bowes. I could be wrong, but he came on centre mid, and he was, you know, he was energetic and he was getting himself about. And I thought, you know, he'll kick on now, but, you know, for one reason or another, things happen, and, you know, if your time's right, your time's right, and he just goes from strength to strength now. You know, baptism of the fire, straight in Alla, centre half, against one of the best strikers in the league, and produced that performance. You know, he has to be on cloud nine tonight, but, you know, get back down to business during the, you know, there's enough experience around him not to get carried away, and, you know, just going off what the bits and pieces I've heard of him, you know, he's not one of these boys that's gonna come in and think, you know, he knows it all now. I think he'll be fantastic for the club going forward.
So I was going to wait to ask, but I think I've you covered here for Man of the Match, Steph. We're going with Anna Massahoon as well. I think I probably don't need to come back to you on that one.
No, I think you can plug him in there for me anyway. Yeah, I thought he was. Boyle's probably an unlucky second, and then I think Shelby probably look, and that's probably been harsh on the goal scorer there. The shift he put in, you know, the quality produced for the goal. You know, the link up play, dropping into the like a false nine position, and you know, the 1-2s he was playing with Hogan, it looked like an instant connection between the two of them. Do you know what I mean? And look, that'll only grow as the season goes on, hopefully. So there's about five or six players.
That's fine. I'm just gonna stick with the original.
Mayo get my man the match.
Okay, Tom, we come to you. You are I know we've obviously mentioned I didn't think we'd actually mention so much. When we think back to the game, there is a few players in there that could be in the running. Obviously, RT had given it to Boyle. But for yourself, you know, there's probably one or two you could pick from. But, I mean, you know, what would you have as your man in the match? Like, you won't be getting any pizza, unfortunately, because you're on the show. But we pick a comment out from the pizza runs.
No, look, I mean, straight off the bat, I'm not going to upset the apple cart here. I think Mayo is a worthy winner of it. But I do think, just, you know, listening, you know, we seem to be, you know, talking an awful lot about maybe exceptional performance or, you know, standout performances. The likes of Mayo, obviously, Sean, Andy Boyle got man of the match. You know, Shelby, you know, it's his debut. He only landed in Ireland, Wednesday, he was doing the press conferences, and that was it. Like, but I'm thinking, going, is there anybody where you could go you were disappointed in tonight? Is there anyone you looked at and you went, no, hang on a second, I don't think he's at the level? Now again, look, you'd have to be ultra critical, ultra harsh after one game. But I think as a whole, I mean, we've probably, and I'm as guilty of it as anybody, we've left out probably one of the most experienced players tonight who came over. Scott High is 50-60 caps in the championship. I mean, operating at that level is a level above what most players coming over here are at, or what most players going from here to, you know, play at. I mean, Georgie Kelly was the top scorer in the Premier Division. He's went over, has barely got a sniff in the Championship and has moved down to League One. And he obviously lit up the league. We know the quality he has. He come back here, you know, if he was to come back here in the morning, he'd probably be, bar at Rovers, we have Gaffney, but at any other club would take him in the morning, in a heartbeat. And he's operating now in League One. We're talking about a guy who's, like I say, 50-60 appearances at Championship level. Didn't put a foot wrong tonight, I thought. Was very quiet, just kept things ticking over. And I think there are games that will come where we'll see Scott High maybe more to the fore. I'm presuming he's more of an attacking player than Bradshaw, who we saw doing the dirty work, we're doing the bits and pieces. And look, that's something. And to Stephen O'Donnell last year, there's a lot of us looking at the, I won't say the softness of the midfield, but that bite or that steal or whatever you want to say wasn't maybe there. But Stephen O'Donnell seemed to have wanting a ball playing midfielder to keep the ball moving. His ideals were that we would dominate possession. So if we had somebody who was tidy on the ball, keep the ball moving metronomically, that you don't necessarily need that steal in front. If you're going to be, if you're going to be in possession of the ball all the time, you need somebody who can move it and can keep it going at all. You know, look, Gary Deegan was mentioned. Gary Deegan, to all of us, because of the beard and because of everything, he looks like an enforcer, but there's far more to him. He's far more of a footballer than just that. I mean, he's had such a massive career, obviously, in the League of Ireland before he went to England, and then, you know, it's quite a strong career in England before he came back and has had his third wind, I suppose, at this stage. But, you know, everyone's kind of looking, going, Deegan is the player we were, you know, that was missing from the midfield. And I think, you know, Stephen O'Donnell looked it up, probably went, right, listen, we're that player to keep the ball taken over is grand. But when we are on the, you know, when we are defending, we don't have a screen in front. We don't have that solidity or whatever. And then he's turned to maybe Zach Bradshaw. He's turned to Scott High. Obviously played a little bit, ironically, played a bit lower tonight, played a bit deeper, like, than we'll possibly see him in the future. I see him more playing a more advanced role, but because obviously Rovers dominated possession, he had to sit that little bit deeper tonight. I think Scott High is somebody who I would expect to see a lot more of as the season progresses. We see him in a more advanced role as the season progresses, and he's somebody who I think, look, like I said, didn't put a foot wrong today, but I think hopefully in the future we'll see more of him. Obviously 50-60 appearances in the Championship, there's more to him than we saw tonight. Yep. Because you know, the more defensive attributes of Maiola, of Andy Boyle and of Bradshaw were to the fore, because look, that's what happens when you go to tally. You're not going to dominate the ball when we are on the front foot, when we are pushing forward. I do think that we'll probably see more of Scott High.
There's there's striking comparisons between himself and Sean Murray, sort of the journey they've been on, and you know, playing that high level, playing that many games at such a young age in the Championship, and you know, possibly having to come back over here and not reinvent himself because he's just gone on loan, but you know, maybe to kickstart his career again. Obviously, we don't know a whole lot about him, but he showed signs of, you know, real class tonight. I know, like you said, like with the keeper, once or twice he tried to switch balls and they were overhit or they were underhit, but you know, as he grew into the game, you know, his presence was definitely felt, and even for him to play the 90 minutes as well shows the high regard he's held in by Stevie. Like when others was coming off, I know Bradshaw was on the book, and which might have been an easy choice because he could have easily picked up a second the way the game was going. But yeah, look, he's played the 90 minutes there, and like you said, it's a tough game. You're up against it in Tala, and you're going to be conceding possession and conceding territory, but for him to adapt his game and change into like the role he had to play tonight, you'd imagine when he comes to Oriel Park and we dominate possession a wee bit more, it's he's going to be a lot more involved in the play.
Yeah, I think I know you mentioned Sean Murray. I kind of thought there was a touch of Alfie Lewis about him. Now, Alfie didn't have the greatest of, he's probably better Pat's player probably than he was here, but from where he played tonight, but I'd agree with Tom with that, you'd expect him to go a little bit more up the field and become a bit more of a, I suppose, a Sean Murray. It probably is. I never thought of Sean Murray really, Steph, but that probably is it. When you consider that type of player that can do both, you know, we won't talk about Sean where he is now, but look, that's, don't worry about that. But yeah, that type of player, I suppose, is probably the simple example for him. But I definitely, yeah, there's more to come. Like Tom had said, 50-60 games in the Championship at that level. You know, a fantastic footballer. I was really surprised when we even signed him. But yeah, it's, you know, it's something that can, you're hoping, obviously it's on loan, but you're hoping, you know, you'd like to keep a player that now, whether you do or not is a different type of situation. But it's definitely something that's going to be a massive player for us going forward. So just on, I think we have Anna Massahoon for me as well. I don't really think, I'm surprised, it's not that I'm surprised Andy Boyle got it. I just thought, considering, you know, his age, it's his first game, you know, I think RT have robbed him there, really have. But look, again, he learned from the best. I think somebody had said that earlier. He learned from the best, and Andy Boyle, one of the best defenders probably of the last decade, 15 years. I know Tom had said probably not the best at the minute, but I mean, are you going to learn any more from it? But know what I mean? Wouldn't be up there.
And on reflection, that probably was a bit harsh, but what I meant was that he's not, he's not where he was. He was,
of course.
He got capped at Irish level. I would still have him starting. I just want to.
We're not kicking to the camp just yet. Yeah, it's just for experience to learn.
That's going to make the headlines now.
That'll be exactly.
Andy Boyle, not where he used to be. Tom O'Connor.
So I think our man of the match is for our pizza, Tony's Pizzeria, is. My old Anna Massahoon. So I'm just going to run through the comments here. There is a few for him. We'll go straight out the gate with Colin Mullen. Colin, contact Vinny in Tony's Pizzeria. Get yourself some chips, gravy, whatever else he sells. Don't we just get the pizza? Fill the house. Fill to get a family size box, whatever you have to get. And give him a shout. Tell him we sent you on. Steph will look after. He'll text your name into Vinny. You're just elected there, Steph. And we'll get you sorted with your pizza for Man of the Match. Lads, just before we finish, just on next week, you know, obviously tonight we're on a bit of a buzz, but you know, it's all obviously all eyes now in Oriel Park next week. Look, we would be expecting first game out at Oriel Park to be a sellout anywhere, close enough for a great atmosphere. But I think a Galway team coming to Oriel Park is exciting as well. A John Caulfield Galway team coming over, having done what they've done in the first division. You know, it's going to be a great game now anyway. But after tonight's result, you know, I expect a few more haven't watched that game tonight to tip up Doriel Park and not watch it on the LOA stream. It's going to be a really good, well, hopefully you're hoping for a really good game next Friday night.
As long as it's not a 4-0 defeat like the last time.
Yeah.
That's we won't talk about that. That was our most viewed podcast last season.
Yeah. I know. I mean, look, you get games like that. I mean, I still recall coming on here. I can't even remember who was the panel with me. When we were beaten two seasons ago by Waterford in the Cup. And it was, I mean, but you're going to get games. It was a watershed game because you're now looking at it. They got promoted. They steamrolled that division. You know, it was two sides facing each other at opposite times. Now, look, we're obviously buoyed on the back of, you know, on the back of a good result tonight. You've a different squad out there. Yeah. Do I expect, you know, well, yeah, great to have a sellout crowd there. Am I going to expect that it's going to be the most classic football game ever played? Possibly not. You know, it's going to be a war of attrition. Simply, Galway are going to do to us what we did to Rovers tonight. It's going to be a tough watch. It's going to be a game where you need that steel in midfield. You're going to, it's whoever, and look, it's a cliche, whoever wants it most, but it's those 50-50, you want to win more of the 50-50 tackles. You want to be able to set your stall out early days. And I think, I don't know, you know, is he going to go with experience again, maybe for the first couple of games? Are we going to see, you know, be very harsh, like I said, to drop anybody who started tonight?
Yeah.
You know, you don't know what niggas, you don't
know. Far from Boyle.
I don't know. There's going to be, it's going to have to be another hour long of a show here for me to just clarify. He was an international player. He's not at international standard yet, but he's still one of the best defenders in the league.
We'll clip that for the end of the season.
we'll pin that one up for you. Yeah. We won't do anything else.
Oh, God. But no, I know. We know what you're saying, Tom. We get what you're saying. I'll tell Chris to just edit that out in the morning. We get it for the Spotify. Lads, we have rocked on an hour. I didn't think we'd make an hour. We'd like to start, you know, we're on. We tried to start late. With the game running so late, we started a wee bit later than normal. But look, appreciate you coming on. Appreciate all the comments as well, folks. You know, all eyes now probably on Oriel Park next week. It's a cracking start to the season. Thanks to Tom. Thanks to Steph. And
thanks to the sponsors.
Thanks to the sponsors. Yeah, Dundalk Village, not Loud Village. I'm taking over now. So Chris is not here to say Loud Village every other week. Tony's Pizzeria, playoff fit for our gear. We'll have a playoff fit. I think Chris might have said it last on the previous show. We'll have playoff fit gear coming up, maybe a club shop coming up in the next couple of weeks. A bit of charity work as well. So look, we'll see you all next week. And until then, come on to town.